In the collect today we pray, O God, who didst this day instruct the hearts of thy faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us in the same spirit to be truly wise and ever to rejoice in his consolation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. A lady came into church early on Ascension Thursday, and seeing the new shrine we had just put up over the tabernacle of the Holy Ghost, seeing the circular white at a distance, asked, "Is the Blessed Sacrament exposed today?" Well, no. That's a symbol, though, of the Holy Ghost through whom the Blessed Sacrament is consecrated every day, and through whom we receive Jesus into our hearts, whether as it be for you children the first time today, or for you oldsters after how many, many times has the Holy Ghost fed you with that true manna which has come down from heaven. Now, children, I'm sure that even you know, you've heard and you've been taught, the story of today, the story of Pentecost. We have it in the lesson or the epistle this morning. We spoke a bit about that on Thursday, didn't we? About the sound as of a tornado or a train coming in and then parted tongues, as it were, of fire. All the little candles everywhere today are meant to make you think about that, those little tongues of fire over everyone, the apostles and disciples in the upper room. That's the story of Pentecost. We meditate it so often as we pray the third glorious mystery. But do any of you know the story of Saint Pentecost? No, I didn't think so. That's why I thought I would tell you today the story of Saint Pentecost. Some of you know because you will have heard it just a few weeks ago on his feast day. We know him as Saint Pascal Baylon. According to the Spanish custom, he, having been born on Pentecost, the same day he was to die, 54 years later, he received the name of Pentecost at baptism. In the Spanish, that is Pascua del Espíritu Santo, or Pascua del Pentecostés. Pascua, or we would say in English, Pascal for short. He was born almost 500 years ago. His parents were very poor. They were farm workers, but they were devout, and they lived close enough to the church to walk to Mass. One day, little Pascal, having been brought since he was a baby to Mass by his mother in arms, one day little Pascal disappears. And the mother looks here and there and asks the neighbors, and no one's seen the boy. He couldn't yet walk yet. What a mystery. Where could he possibly have gotten to? Well, she went to church to say a prayer, probably to St. Anthony, to find her missing baby. And what do you think she sees? He's crawled all the way from church right up to the altar, and he was sprawled on the altar steps, gazing at the tabernacle. Later on, when he got a little bit older, they were too poor for him to go to school, he was a shepherd, and he wished that he could still go to church to be with Jesus in the tabernacle and to receive him. But he had a job to do, and he had to stay with the sheep. Sometimes they wandered off and did some damage to the neighbor's property. When they did, he was always very careful to pay back whatever was owed. He was an extraordinary child, though. This must have been the Holy Ghost working on him. He was an autodidact. He taught himself how to read and how to play the guitar, how to read. You see, back then, there was, of course, known as today, the brown scapular, which you children received yesterday, our Blessed Mother's badge. But back then, to receive the promises, you had to recite the little office of Our Lady. It wasn't yet dispensed to a rosary as it is today. And he was resolved he was going to learn to read so he could read the little office and get in on Mary's promises. Well, he wasn't at school. His schoolmates were the sheep. What was he going to do? He got him, saved up his money, and he got himself a little prayer book with the little office in Latin in it. Because back then you just prayed in Latin. If you were a Christian, that's what you did. Well, he would ask the passersby, anyone at all day long, "Excuse me, sir, would you mind reading me the sentence?" And anyone who could read Latin back then. It was the language of education and worship. And so the passerby would take a moment and would read the Latin to the little boy. He would ask him to repeat just one sentence a few times, would memorize it. He was quite quick. And then when the passerby went on his way, he would peer at it and make the connection, phonics. He would sound out the words, Ave Maria, Grazia. And then, having connected the words with the way they looked on the page, he was ready to move on. And he would get himself little scraps of paper and then write out what he read, the letters. And that's how he taught himself how to read and write. And I'm not sure how he did the guitar, but I'm sure he was just as ingenious when it came to that. Now, most of the time he was watching his sheep. And because he was watching his sheep, he couldn't get to church. But he would hear the bells ringing. He knew when the consecration and communion was. And there was a boy that was a shepherd with him. This boy's name was John. And years later, after our saint died, when they decided to make a saint out of Paschal, old John went to the tribunal and he bore witness and he said, "When we were little, Paschal told me that when the bells rang, he would pray and the angels would come and he would see the host and the chalice and he would adore." Imagine that, children. Well, you can imagine he wanted to become a religious. Said he was an unusual child. He lived in such a supernatural world that the Franciscans first thought he was kind of out of it, and he was refused. He had to come back a second time a few years later, and they made him be a lay brother and a cook. He's one of the patron saints of cooks, and he's the patron saint of the dear people who cook for us sometimes. We call it our cucina clerical. He was very generous. The Franciscans in general were. They couldn't refuse the poor, because one time he was corrected by the superior, and the superior said, "Brother," he said, "there's not enough food for the friars. You've got to cut down on how many poor people you do in a given day." And he said, "But Father, if there are 12 that come and I feed 10, what if Jesus is number 11 or 12? He'd go away unfed." And of course that wouldn't do. One time he was making soup and he had nothing to make the soup with but some crusts of bread. So he put the crusts of bread in a pot and started to boil the water. And one of the brethren walking by looked at it, pulled up the lid, and he saw bread there and said, "That's not going to affect anybody's digestion very much, brother." He said, "What it does to the digestion is up to God." And at the end, it was a delicious soup that he had made. That's the Holy Ghost. But so far what I'm telling you, piety, miracles, love of the poor, standard issue stuff for saints. But did you ever hear the Holy Ghost surprises us? Of a saint who danced in ecstasy? And of all things, while he was setting the table. He thought no one was in the room. There was a statue of Our Lady there in the refectory, it's called. And the Holy Ghost just came upon him, and he wanted to do his best for Mary. And he danced, and he jumped around, and he did leaps and little turns. And another brother poked his nose in the room and saw what was going on. And he said later on, his face was glowing with the love of God. He was sent as a messenger to go through a very dangerous territory, which was occupied by very anti-Catholic French, called the Huguenots. This was in the 16th century, the Wars of Religion. He had to go all the way to Paris to give a message to the head of the Franciscans. And more than once he was attacked for being a Catholic religious. He got a terrible wound on his shoulder that never healed and hurt him very much as our Lord. And once a soldier rode up to him with a lance in his arms, and the soldier poked the lance right at the heart of Pascal, Brother Pascal, and he said, "Where is God?" And Brother Pascal, without even thinking, said, well, God is in heaven." And the soldier looked at him and he said, "Hurrum," and he rode off. 2 minutes later, Pascal says, "Oh no, I missed my chance. I could have been a martyr." He was waiting for me to say, "God is in the tabernacle too." And he ran after him, but it was too late. The soldier had already galloped off. He was most humble and most obedient. But here too, the Holy Ghost did not abandon him. He did things as God wanted him to do. One time there were some wealthy women who came to see the superior of the monastery, and he couldn't be bothered with women that day. He had work to do. So he said to the brother, Pascal, "Just tell them I'm not home." "I couldn't do that, Father. That wouldn't be telling the truth. Couldn't do that." "I'll say you're busy." "No," the superior insisted. "You tell them I'm not home." St. Pascal stood his ground and he said, "That would be a venial sin and I won't do it. I'll tell them you're not home." And that's what he did. And that he was otherwise the most obedient of religious children. Never tell a lie, not even a little one. No more sinning, okay, from now on, because our Lord's going to be living in your heart. He spent hours in prayer before the Blessed Sacrament, and he used to love to serve Mass because it would get him so close to Jesus in the Sacred Host. And when he prayed with his hands folded up in front of his face, and he never even leaned on the pew, and he would pray that way for hours at a time. Yesterday, I told you a little bit about the slap, the little reminder. Well, St. Pascal is known for doing that. They say that on his feast day, or wherever there's a statue or a picture of him, why, that if he needs to warn someone, say if you're being bad in church, you would hear it's called Los Golpes de San Pascual. You would hear sort of a knock or a slap. Or if he needs to warn someone that he's going to die, then St. Pascal does the same thing. And sometimes if you hear just a gentle one, they say, well, that's him reminding you that God is with you and your prayer will be heard. How happy are the saints? St. Pascal Baylon was full of God the Holy Ghost, not only to do extraordinary things, and God poured wisdom and knowledge into his soul. One time a theologian tested him for hours, and he finally said, "The Holy Ghost is speaking right through this man's mouth. He knows more than I do." That's how God works. How happy he was, because the Holy Ghost filled him with right knowledge, as we prayed today, and gave him the consolation of his presence. It's a wonderful fruit of God's coming to our hearts. The Holy Ghost is waiting for you right here. He's hovering over the tabernacle. Well, for these little ones, but for all of you. He wants to pour his consolation into your hearts, and he wants to melt your heart with joy. You must let him. Now, on First Communion Day, I usually ask the parents or grandparents to bring the children back during the week in order to make a thanksgiving to God in the Blessed Sacrament, just to do one extra Mass just out of love and thanksgiving. I want to ask you to do that, dear parents or grandparents. Bring them back again this week. It's a Holy Week, Pentecost, to make an extra communion just out of love. But I'm upping the ante this year in the Holy Ghost, and I want to ask all of you parents to teach your children how to make a Holy Spirit communion. What is that? Have you ever heard of that? Sure you have. Holy Spirit, a spiritual communion. Little Pascal wanted to get to church, but he could not. He had duties. He was at a distance. He was a shepherd, and those sheep would get into trouble if he wandered too far. But he prayed, and he earnestly desired, and the angels made him see Jesus in the sacred host. If only we could have that kind of a desire. You live far away, and gas is expensive, and you're busy. But is there anything that stops you from teaching your children the way of piety and of earnest love? Look at the clock. It's the time right now Father's consecrating or giving out communion at church. You might even have the computer on and be following in the web mass. Let's say to our Lord, and this is a spiritual communion or a Holy Spirit communion, I believe in you. I believe in you, the Blessed Sacrament, dear Jesus. I desire to receive you into my heart, but I can't right now. Come at least spiritually into my heart, dear Jesus, and be there not only now, but always. Please let me never be separated from thee again. If you pray that way, I don't say that you'll actually see Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. Although you may, and why not? The Holy Ghost is full of surprises. But I do know that you will feel in your inmost soul his joy and his consolation. By his presence, you will be truly wise. By his presence, you will be able to rejoice, not just this day, but every day, in his consolation. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.